Blog Talk Radio.
Nigga start smacking cats with skinny jeans.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dead.
No.
Kim. Jimmy. PJ. B. Austin. I'm Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show? And keep the brain running with the premise of talk. Sports on a national level. Bold with the topic. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 saw the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Greetings, War Room World. Welcome back to another edition of your favorite roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, the company that's revolutionizing the revolution in sports media. I'm Devin McMillan, and seated around the table with me are the generals, Jimmy Williams and B. Austin. Paul Johnson will join us in a few. We got a great show for you today. We'll be talking the NFL draft. We'll talk Lance Armstrong. Oh, wait a minute. Not today we won't be doing that. We'll be talking a little bit about Kevin Ware and his injury. We'll be talking a little quarterback signings in the NFL, things of that nature. But, of course, before we get started, we got a shout-out to the team. The future of Sports Talk Radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out the simulcast of Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on New Vibe Radio at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on FatsRadio.com. But right now, let's see who's on that birthday calendar.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Fellas, what's the deal?
Man, you all in the street like a hooker's feet.
Yo, shout out to everybody that I caught in your mom's bedroom as y'all listening.
What are you talking about?
Yo, I have no clue. Yo, Austin's already inebriated in the show just started, man.
I ain't gonna front. I apologize. I had a little bit to drink before the show.
Liquid Lucifer.
Liquid Lou is back.
All right. So yeah.
Like
before we get in these birthdays, make sure y'all jump into that chat room if y'all want to join this conversation too. That's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. So go ahead and join us there or on Facebook and Twitter because y'all know we definitely want to hear from you. The birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, you might as well start paying for it now. Go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the DirecTV logo. Order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, and if you listen to us, that's what you're doing, you got to have DirecTV. So our first birthday today is one Mr. Rodolfo Fernandez y Fadas. I like my Spanish, a.k.a. Rudy Fernandez turns 28 today.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, what are your thoughts of Mr. Rudy Fernandez?
Yo, I think of Rudy Fernandez, I think of NBA 2K because he had buddies on the game. he was, I think he's back over with Real Madrid now, but he's a Spanish player. Last he played for the Nuggets, I believe. Very athletic, had a little jump shot, a 6'6 wingman. But I definitely think it's a video game, because he's one of those dudes in a video game that will yam on you at any minute.
Well, I remember when he first came over and was, you know, with Portland, he was in the dunk contest. And I mean, even in games, you know, he did some dunks that were kind of impressive. So I can see why they did what they did for him in the video game as far as attributes were concerned. B. Austin, what are your thoughts of one Mr. Rudy Fernandez?
I don't do too much thinking about Rudy Fernandez, to be honest with you, but he does have game. He does have game. I always look at him as kind of like Carlos Delfino, I guess. I don't know. I feel like the same.
Carlos Delfino with athleticism?
Yeah, with a little bit more athleticism.
Yo, you don't think about Rudy Fernandez, but you think about Carlos Delfino? I mean, I'm just saying, like, never mind. I'm sorry, play that.
Yeah. I'm paying attention to my monitor because they're breaking news about Jimmy Martelli, who's an assistant coach at Rutgers. He resigned in the wake of the whole Mike Rice firing, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. It looked like he was getting his swing on a couple players as well. But I guess that was just the culture there. The next birthday today is one Mr. Benjamin Gordon, a.k.a. Ben Gordon, turns 30.
My birthday, yay!
Be awesome. Ben Gordon. I know you think a little bit more about him. No trauma.
Flash. Ah!
I think about how Dwayne Wade stole that man's nickname. Ben Gordon is an interesting dude. Who is Shaq to steal people's nicknames? He is capable of putting up all-star level scoring nights, but then he'll go back into his shell and disappear for like months at a time, and you won't hear from him.
Yeah, he definitely is, because for a while when he was with the Chicago Bulls, he was their leading scorer. Interesting fact about Ben Gordon, he's British-American. I mean, he was born over there, but I think he basically moved over here as an infant. But that's where his parents are from. They're Jamaicans, but they lived in like England somewhere. So
he classifies
as a British-American, but he sounds like he's straight from Queens.
Shout out to money-earning Mount Vernon.
Jimmy Ben Gordon.
Yo, I think about when he played for the Bulls. He had a couple of years where he looked like he was on his way to being like one of them dudes where he could be a multiple-time All-Star. And, you know, he took some bread, went to Detroit, and now he's, you know, just an average – not going to say an average player, but, you know, he's a good rotation player at this point. But
with
it looked
Bobcats,
like at one point –
so, you know, the Bobcats will destroy
any
career.
After he went to Detroit in the Bobcats.
Yeah.
Of course, it's hard to do anything with the Bobcats, but even in Detroit – he wasn't the same Ben Gordon he was in Chicago. He had a couple seasons where,
he has those nights, though. It's
every once in a while, he'll take you back to Chicago,
and he'll just go bananas. Like, he had that 11 three-pointer game.
Well, my question is this, though. What does that tell you about a player that showed you once in the blue they had this ability,
I don't think
they're
he cares.
Not able to put it together?
I don't think he cares anymore. I think he's
I personally think when he came to the league, the way he was playing originally – I thought he was an overachiever, but now he's like settled back into, you know, what I thought he would be. So I don't know, man.
A 6'2" Eddie House would handle.
And I don't really think he's 6'2". I think that's
the other thing. A 6'2" Eddie House would handle. I like it a lot.
That's what happened when you bust into my ass. But and another fact, he's like the second. He's second in Bulls history in three-point shooting to Kurt Heinrich. I think that's like number of three-pointers made, not necessarily percentage. But our next birthday is one Mr. Allen Wade Houston, who turns 42.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on Allen Houston?
That his jump shot was water. And when he came back at the All-Star game a couple of years ago, he participated in an event, his jump shot still was water.
Funny that you said that, because he had one of the greatest nicknames of all time, and it had
damn
a lot to do with what you just said.
H2O, and that's why I said that.
That's a hot nickname, man. Houston, number 20. Your jump shot is water. H2O,
baby.
Come on, man.
But anyway,
he wasn't good enough for
water,
a nickname like that, in my opinion, but.
Yo, he got paid, too. That's another thing.
Did he? He got like a $102 million contract. They probably still paying
like
him.
I feel like he's still getting paid off that joint.
I think he is.
He got one of the Billy King contracts.
Because he got his most, like, the largest part of that contract was after, like, a year after he retired.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
he hurt his knee, like, the year after he got the contract.
Yo.
He didn't deserve the contract in the first place, but
them guaranteed contracts and Caspi walking away and I think Matt Geiger is still collecting a check right now.
No, the worst was Michael. The worst was Michael Dickerson.
How long was he getting paid?
He got a nice chunk of change. It wasn't big like that. Pause. It was like $72 million somewhere in there.
I know.
$70 million.
I know that Sixers team that went to the finals. Yo, everybody got paid after that run. And
yeah, Billy King.
Collected checks from that run. Billy King took care of everybody.
Billy King must run the squad.
He run the squad like my man Kevin Lang. Shout out to Kevin Lang and loyalty. He run the squad like them dudes. Like, oh man, we all went to the finals. Everybody, money for everybody. Snow, what you need? $32 million. McKee, what you need?
I got you.
And not to mention everybody on that team was broken in some way during the finals.
So you handed
a bunch of injured players who weren't good to begin with a bunch of money.
But the very next season after that run, everybody came back looking like the Latanza heist just went down, yo.
He was in the shower banging, Jimmy!
Take it back to where you got it.
Take it right back to where you got it. Take it.
Yo, AI was telling Snow and his wife to take them fur coats back. But,
Shout out to those who don't even catch that Goodfellas reference, though. Anyway, go ahead, though.
Yeah. It's probably like two people laughing out there. I don't have a clue what we're talking about.
All right, the last birthday is
Mr. Jack Del Rio, who turns 50.
It's my birthday. Yay!
B. Austin, what'd you know about Jack?
He's a good linebacker during his playing days. Decent. Okay. He's a better defensive coordinator than he is head coach. As a head coach, he actually kind of sucks. But I like old Jack Del Rio, man. You can't help but be a fan of Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
You said he's a better defensive coordinator than.
Yeah.
Coach.
I think it was a DC.
It ain't hard to be in here, but still.
Yeah, when I think of Jack Del Rio, first off, shout out to Jack Del Rio because he's a DC of my Bronco gang. And he was an okay linebacker. I remember when his career ended. The Dolphins drafted a young man named Zach Thomas, and that was the last time Jack Del Rio suited up. Zach Thomas took his food and took his job and everything. So I agree with B. Austin because it's one of these things where a lot of guys are great coordinators and they try to become a head coach and it just doesn't work. Some people are better off as coordinators than they are coaches, but I guess everybody wants to be the head guy. But some people just, you know, they sit as a coordinator.
Jason Garrett.
I like Jack Del Rio, and I don't know why I like him.
Because his name Jack Del Rio, I don't know. He got the same name as you know what I'm talking about. Well, close name.
Shout out to Vanessa.
That's our birthdays for this week. Jimmy, tell everybody what happened this week while they were on the grind trying to get that check.
While you on the grind is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Make sure to go to our website and check out their logo. If you have any of your income tax money yet and you haven't spent it all, you may want to get in contact with them. At any rate, let's jump into these stories. Robinson Cano leads Scott Boras. Scott Boras gets everybody. Anyway, leads Scott Boras to sign with Rock Nation Sports. There's also talk of Victor Cruz, joining Rock Nation Sports. What do you guys think about this? Do you think it's worth the risk or, you know?
Rock. Yeah, it's just another venture by Jay-Z. I mean, you got to make money for your money. You know what I'm saying? I hear a lot of people throwing around that Jay-Z is a genius and all that. I mean, don't take a genius to say I like sports, so I want to represent athletes. I got the money to make this deal to start this company, and you know he gonna be he's reaching for that Billy. And he's going to have that Billy probably sometime in the next decade. But the venture, for the people that don't know, Rock Nation Sports is actually an arm of CAA, you know, the big sports agency CAA. So they're not an independent company. They're owned by CAA, and that's who represents, because Jimmy mentioned Victor Cruz, because he will be a part of Rock Nation Sports when Rock Nation Sports gets a license to represent football players. Right now they only have a baseball license, and I don't think they'll ever get a basketball license because I would think that would be a conflict of interest since he has a minority stake in an NBA team.
First off, before Austin starts on his thing, I just want to say, you know, shout out to Mel, Sean Carter, because I think it's actually a smart move to partner with CAA as opposed to trying to do anything independent. You know, when starting out, that's an actual smart move. Now, I don't throw the genius label around because, like you said, putting your money to work, how smart do you really have to be? But
well,
the
actually,
day, the
Jimmy,
bar,
you learn from your mistakes because he's tried before. And,
yeah,
you know, he tried to go the Master P route before, and it didn't work.
Yo,
so, you know.
Master P messed up Ricky Williams' career, but that's a whole other story. it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, he's capitalizing off what he has, and that's a great move. I think the
right.
CAA move was smart to do. But the whole genius thing is very hilarious. But at the end of the day, the bar is set so low because you see all these people, whether they are entertainers, athletes, rappers, whatever it is, that go broke. You know, that when you see someone, you know, such as a Diddy or Jay-Z or anybody for that matter, that they get props. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, for doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yo, it's like I've seen people literally in the streets be like, oh, look at him, he's taking care of his son. I'm like, well, damn it, shouldn't he? It's like, yo, the bar is so low.
I thought that was an obligation when I had
specifically
I didn't know it was a choice.
Americans, and I'm not trying to get
right
on my soapbox, but the bar is set so low specifically for African Americans that we get credit for doing things we should do anyway. So when you see somebody really go above and beyond that, it's like, you know, he's a genius, like, you know. But anyway,
I tell people that all the time, Jimmy. I tell people that we need to hold ourselves to
look
our
at
higher
him.
Standards, stop giving excuses to everybody, and hold ourselves
anybody,
to a higher standard.
Listen,
I say it every day.
Look
anybody,
at him,
somebody.
He's breathing. Look at him, he's breathing.
Yo, anybody that watches our videos knows we always tell you don't accept mediocrity and be
exactly.
steadfast in the war against. Because the thing about it is we accept mediocrity as a people. But I'm going to stop now because I'm about to get on, like, you know, some huge
we about
stuff,
to change
man.
Up. The hell
you
know,
man, I ain't
tonight.
Talking about Huey from the Boondocks. I'm talking about Huey from the Rooftops. But I'm about to get on that. So I'm going to slow down and let the Austin, like, you know, speak his piece.
Yo, man, the hardest part of being a part of this show is if you go last, it's like being in a cipher. Woo! You got to cap off the end of the round pretty listen, man, Jay.
Hardest part for me is listening to you say it every time.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's like that. I don't know. I don't know what I got to say about Jay-Z. I think he's duping us because I really just think that he sold a licensing deal and gave his name to CAA and they give him a couple dollars
yo,
for the athlete that's underneath.
That's even more specific. But yo,
even if he did, that's what's up.
That's even more slick. But let me ask you guys a question though. On the other side, if you were an athlete, and Robinson Cano is no slouch, so it's like if you were an athlete at his level, would you be willing to take this chance? Like, I guess with CAA backing him is a no lose, but would this be something that you were looking to do? Would you want to be
yeah,
like,
because now I'm co-branded.
GFF,
now I'm co-branded. All it is about the branding, because now athletes understand the value of their brand away from the sport. So, you know, it's an opportunity to work with the translation crew and bring in Steve Stout and all of them dudes and
no,
getting money over there and over here.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing. I would, and Jimmy basically answered the question himself. I mean, you still have one of the best sports agencies backing you in CAA, so they're not going to let, you know, they own this Roc Nation thing. They're not going to let it slip. They're probably just going to have,
yeah.
you know, some of the same agents. And
yeah.
I don't know. Even
I
with
mean,
the
now,
whole
now.
Cruise thing, they're letting Tom Condon, you know, negotiate Victor Cruz's deal with the Giants, and then they're going to pass him off and let Roc Nation Sports deal with a lot of his off the field things. So, I mean, I definitely
yo, man.
They're backed by one of the best. So, you know.
Yo, now they're gonna be GS'd up and Dre'd up. You know, at the end of the day, man. I have one last question before we move on. It's funny that Austin mentioned how a lot of these athletes are concerned about their brand, and if you're anybody on Twitter, you notice that and you see how they like openly talk about branding. Athletes do. And do you think that has any effect on the games? Because it seems like now the games are suffering because they are worried so much about their brand. It's a yes or no question.
Yeah, huh? Of course. You damn right.
Yeah, if you want a yes or no, yeah.
Okay.
Competitive
okay. So
greatness
I don't want to go off too long. We can get into a whole discussion about this another show. We'll do a video
yeah.
about this. But
yeah, real quick, I'm not going to go off on a tangent either, but it's just like hip-hop. Like, for a lot of people, it's more of a hustle now than an art. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people, if they got game, Yeah, if they got game like the RIP basketball.
RIP football, because like we about to sell out too and get all this chicken. Anyway, next story I want to talk about real quick. Mark Cuban says he would draft Brittany Griner in the second round. I saw some people say I've seen this argument all on the net. She could play. And I've seen people say Jamel Hill wrote a good piece, and she's a friend of the war. Shout out to Jamel about it's disrespectful for him to say that. But what do you guys think about the story?
What do I think? I don't know,
man. I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
Go.
Mark Cuban has one speed, one gear.
Yeah. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely, positively not. You could talk about the science behind why she couldn't. You can talk about the social aspects. You could talk about a whole lot of things. The bottom line is she's just not built to play at an NBA level. Like that was dumb. That's Mark Cuban generating more media noise.
Well, listen, here's his quote, B. Austin. He said, if she's the best on the board, I will take her. I've thought about it. I've thought about it already. Would I do it? Right now, I'd lean toward yes just to see if she can do it. You never know unless you give somebody a chance, and it's not like the likelihood of any late 50s draft pick has a good chance of making it. And she tweeted, you know, to add to the fire and the speculation, she said, I would hold my own. Let's do it. Yeah. You'd hold your own ice packs when you icing down your body every night.
That's the first thing I thought of. Now I'm not a sexist. I may be a male chauvinist, but I'm not a sexist. But at the end of the day, like, I just think about like a guy like Dwight Howard or Tyson Chandler and her trying to bang down low. No pun intended. These guys, it's just a joke, man. Let's stop it. Let's stop.
So she's 6'8", 207. She's 6'8", 207.
Yo, like they're point guards that are
6'8", 207. I'm about to say, it is point guards. That
weigh more than her.
200 pounds or around what she weighs.
I'm gonna keep it 1 million and where the fans want us to. Yo, she couldn't do anything with Nate Robinson.
What is she supposed to do with Nate Robinson?
That's the alcohol talking, yo.
What are you talking about?
Y'all think it's the liquor talking. Look, think about it this way. Nate is obviously on the perimeter. Brittany Griner isn't playing in anyone's post in the NBA, so she would be on the perimeter. So what is she going to do?
She lost already.
Yeah, what's she going to do with that little animal?
Man,
when
I mean, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. God sent across the belly. You're already right.
So basically, she's done on the perimeter. She's done down in the paint. So Mark Cuban should probably just...
And she's really done in the locker room.
Stay away from the crack, which I think is pretty good advice. Unless you can manage it socially, Dan.
I don't know if Mark Cuban can manage it socially.
Maybe she can manage it socially.
Yo, how do you manage crack socially, yo? That's the crazy part about that statement. I've never met anybody says, yo, I used to be on crack. Ain't no such thing as an ex-crackhead. Anyway, listen, Javon's credit was indicted on murder and gang activity charges. First off, what the hell is a gang activity charge? Like,
anyway, was throwing up the signs.
y'all down in the DMV, man. What's up with Javaris Crittenden, man?
Yo, Javaris Crittenden is crazy. Remember, we reported this a while ago because he was involved in, well, they are alleging he was involved in that murder of that woman who was shot and killed in Atlanta while walking with a group of people back in, like, August. They said that and a second shooting they think were gang-related. They think it was, like, retaliation after Javaris Crittenden was robbed of $50,000 worth of jewelry. So, you know, he went out and took the law in his own hands, like he was Kane from Menace or something. They said him and his cousin, Douglas Gamble, they're charged with a 12-count indictment. So, Javaris.
Goodbye.
Don't drop that soap, my brother.
you
probably look in the mirror like, shouldn't have done that.
And gang activity charges.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, man.
Stay on stupidity too long.
Here's
man.
A good story for you. Brian Banks, no relation to Billy, signs with the Falcons after being exonerated of rape and kidnapping charges.
Yo, who is Billy Banks? Who is Billy Banks?
If you know Billy Banks, not Billy Blanks, but Billy Banks. That's a whole other thing. Anyway, not Billy Blanks, but Billy Banks. Anyway, forget that. Bottom line is, did you guys hear about this story? Because I actually saw a special on this. I think it was 60 Minutes, 2020, whatever one of them damn shows I was watching, about his whole story and how he got exonerated. He had to, like, go undercover and do some craziness. But, you know, he bounced back.
Yeah.
Over,
he, didn't the chick come out and admit that he didn't or...
She didn't admit he taped her. Like, yo, he got out. You know, he got out. Chick was still trying to hide at him, you know what I mean, and give him the scary box. And he basically taped her, like, you know, admitting that she lied. So that's how he got exonerated.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I don't think...
He taped her where?
He taped her.
She was still trying to get
him. She got back with him after he did, like, a 7-year bid or 8-year bid?
He did
bid.
A 5-year bid. That's what I'm saying. How did he taper? Because he
they
freed him after
he came out.
When he got out,
she got at him to apologize.
She found him on Facebook, sent him a message, and she gave him a box offering.
Oh, well, I'm reading a bad story then, because this John say he spent 5 years in a Bing but was freed when the accuser changed her story.
Yeah, that's where it is. LaRoy just hit me on in the chat room. It's on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. That's where it is.
Brian spoke at my graduation, so I believe him over this, Joe. I'm with y'all.
Yeah, but yo, Brian, yo, it was a whole special on it. It was kind of crazy though, because like
I think
the nerve
of
the chick, the chick still trying to make him an offering after he got locked up for not doing it initially, and the crazy thing was according to him.
Listen,
I'd have probably ended up going back to jail.
About his football career, though, like how realistic do you guys think it is that, you know, after all of these years, he hadn't played since high school. He was supposed to be going to USC before he got in trouble. How realistic do you guys think it is that he can make an NFL team after doing 5 in the clink?
I don't think he can do it first time around.
As a linebacker too. He's a, difficult position.
I don't think he can do it first time around. I think he can end up on the practice squad and maybe work his way into some shape to get on.
Well,
like
here's
a special
the thing. Here's the thing. He's already in shape. What happened was he got a tryout with the Seahawks last year. And
he in shape. He's been in jail.
No, he didn't make it. He still plays pro ball, just not on the NFL level. What I'm saying is he's been out for a while. He's been training. He's been training with professionals. Like he went to Seahawks camp. I think he made it past first cuts, but didn't make it or something like that. And then he went and played pro ball at some pro league in like Vegas or something. So, but he's been working out with professionals. Like Pete Carroll basically looked out for this dude ungodly, like, you know, giving him access to workouts and things of that nature. So he's been.
But remember, Mikel's the one who initially recruited him. So
yeah,
you know, he got a little. Yeah, so he probably.
So he's been plugging away. He's been plugging away ever since playing pro ball and, like, you know, other pro leagues, and you know, just trying to get back. And he's finally got his shot. So we'll see what happens, man.
That's what's up.
This is his mom's spaghetti moment. You know, his 8 mile moment. So let's see what he does with it.
He got to do what he got to do.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, man. Those
Bunch
are the stories
world.
That happen while you're on the grind. Yo, Dev, tell everybody real fast how to get in touch with us so we can, you know, jump into some March Madness talk.
All right, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. You better do that before the rates go up because we're about to be smelling ourselves in a minute. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com while you're browsing the site. Click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All Sphere and Sports and War blog. And then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page where we talk sports all day, every day. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Download our free War Room Sports mobile app. And to watch our videos on warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts because we know you got those. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. If you want to call in and speak to us, the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline is now open at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Saw that we had some, you know, a few callers a few minutes ago, but the hotline wasn't open yet. The hotline is now open. Call in. We'll get to you. All right. So Somebody heard
that. I'm a scream, man.
No
All right,
doubt.
Let's talk a little. Let's talk a little March Madness. While Jimmy sees who's on the hotline. This conversation is brought to you by Fathead. Get top quality, officially licensed wall graphics of every major sports and entertainment property. It's the ultimate expression of fan pride. Posters, stickers, and decals are no match for the quality Fathead brings to every product. Simply put, they're the real deal. So click on the Fathead logo on our website, worldroomsports.com, and find out what it's all about. And that whole Fathead thing that I just read, that was written in Comic Sans. Let's see who get that. But before we get into this March Madness talk, let's go to the hotline. And we got Rob from North County, from out on the West Coast. Rob, what's going on? You're in the war room.
What's up, y'all?
What's going on,
what's
man?
What's up, Rob?
What's up, man? Hey, first, thanks, Dad, for replying to my email I sent about the Kevin Mallory thing, and I wasn't really complaining about, like Jimmy said, about me being a fan, like, oh, you know, that's disrespectful. I was complaining because it was gruesome, but
no doubt. I ain't gonna front. You know, when we look at it, you know, it's hard to look. I look away from it too, but you know, we
Kevin
felt that.
Kevin is on our page, and I haven't looked at it since it was up there.
We just wanted to get the dialogue started, man, and a lot of people talked about it. But no, go ahead, you got it.
Yo, it does bring up this conversation. Now, you play being their legs broken, they getting and recently getting yelled at and whatever by their coaches, you know what I'm saying? All thrown at me and all that. And the NCAA is getting millions of dollars, and these kids are getting no money. And we all know why they should get paid, but the thing I want to know is, how do y'all think they should get paid? Like, in what
See,
way?
You know what? That's the best question out there, because for the last 2 years, we've been discussing this with people. And you know, there's so many schools, so many colleges and universities out there. If we were to just say that college athletes should get paid across the board, it would be very, very difficult to set up a system like that, because you have some schools that make little to no money off their athletics program, and then you have certain schools where athletics actually run the economics of their university. I don't have an answer.
I mean, it's capitalism. So if you're good enough to go to a Duke or a Kentucky, then your value is more than it is if you're able to go to Community College of Philadelphia. When I think about how they should get paid, I'm from, like, the school of the great Randy Moss, man.
Great cash, homie.
Straight cash. That's crazy. I mean, for me, I think they should get paid, like, you should have a contract with it. They should have them, like, hold the money for the kids until they leave the university or graduate, and give them like a 5-time bonus if they graduate, and if they graduate early, like Josh Smith or Kimball Walker. Because, dude, I love my brothers playing sports, man, but I ain't gonna give no freshman no paycheck, dog.
It's about your value. If you, as a freshman, if you're Carmelo Anthony and you come to Syracuse and your value is that high, where you know you can help sell jerseys and generate revenue because you are who you are as a freshman, that's your value.
No, but Jim, he's not saying that he's not going to pay that freshman. He's just saying he doesn't want to give them a paycheck while they're a freshman. So he's saying if they hold the money in some kind of trust until he leaves school, even if he doesn't graduate, he's just saying there should be a bonus for graduating instead of giving them money up front.
At the end of the day, it's a joke to consider this not a professional. They're not professional athletes. They are professional athletes. They generate money like professional athletes. They should be paid as such. This is not like the minor league. This is the real deal.
But they're student athletes.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because you know you can't protect them. When guys come in the league after 1 year, they don't get annuities or trust. They get paid right there. Now, if they mess that money up, that's what it is. It is what it is. So it's no difference. It's no different. Like, if you're a sophomore, you want to put mine in the trust, and I'm not going to stay at school. I'm going to go to the pros where I can get my chicken right now. Like, if you're going to pay him, you're going to pay him. You can't, like, really put any kind of system in place where we're going to you know, escrow your money for this or escrow your money for that. Because why would they say?
Why can't you? It's incentive for them to, you know, to do whatever they got to do for the time that they're there. Why can't you?
It's an incentive to get out of there and get to the pros as soon as possible.
Okay, and when they get out of there, they'll get their money, and then they'll get their check.
I think it's a very good idea. What about they not good? What about they are not good enough, or they? I mean, they still need a degree.
Especially if we get big money, because at the end of the day, the players are.
There's been big money college players.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson moved big money in the college and didn't really make it in the league.
No, everybody's not going to make the same thing based upon even what Devin just said. So if I'm a starter for, like, you know, Louisville or Kentucky or Kansas, I'm not going to make the same thing as someone from Coppin State. So, I mean.
Wow, their best player might be better than you just because you,
No, but it's all about the revenue. It's all about the revenue generated, man.
Wait. That brings up a good point. You're talking about the revenue. So should we keep the – oh, dang, I'm on the wrong bus. Should we keep it in Division One? I'm sorry.
Now that right there, my friend, is a great question. Should it be in Division Two? That's a great question because Division Two, a lot of them don't generate the same type of revenue.
Sure, y'all talking about Division One? It's like 300 schools in Division One.
But you're right. There's some Division One schools that won't even be able to generate revenue.
Like every school that you named that you were trying to diss, they're Division One schools.
Shout out to Coppin State. How about this? Lincoln University. I diss my own school. Like, you know, Jimmy,
Community College of Philadelphia, all they players are Division One level. Just not
the this got great issues. But I'm just saying, like, first off, we're just talking hypothetically anyway because the colleges are going to hold on to that money as long as possible. And a lot of those colleges make more money than some of the professional teams. So it is what it is, but I agree they have to be paid. I just don't think that kind of system will work because if I'm a top-flight athlete, there's more reason for me to leave as opposed to stay.
How is it more reason for me to leave if I'm getting paid twice? Now I got a nest egg at the end of my college career, and I'm still gonna go pro.
Because the boosters make a lot of money anyway. They still gonna probably give you under the table. They probably won't get your mama a house, but they'll give her a nice apartment in a gay community.
And Jim, you keep addressing the top flight dudes who know they're going. You can be a starter on Louisville and have no pro prospect as a youngster.
The way I look at it, every player is not going to make the same thing. Those guys from Louisville would have to stay anyway. And also,
I don't think in a hypothetical situation everybody could be so picky. If people want colleges to pay these kids, if they decide, okay, we're going to pay them, but we're going to hold this money and pay them in one big lump sum later. Like, are people really going to complain about that? Like, you got what you wanted, and then, you know.
No, I'm not saying people will complain. I'm talking about the players itself. Austin, you're talking about why not get paid twice. Because here's the thing, Austin. If I'm a freshman, I'm a great freshman. First off, I'm 18 years old. I'm not thinking about getting paid twice. I want it now, and I want it, you know, I don't want to wait. Because now if I get paid while I'm waiting for this annuity to come up.
That's his problem. It's better than not getting paid, right?
Because
right now they don't have to do jack. So if hypothetically somebody did this, like,
think about the consequences of getting an 18-year-old money, an 18-year-old a grand.
Dog, I mean, it is what it is. That's what when they play 1 year and they go to the pros, it's the same thing. You're not going to be able to save everybody from themselves. That's just what it is. It's a dog eat dog world.
Well,
we can't save everybody from themselves.
that whole premise is flawed because it's like you shouldn't put any effort into helping people because it's a dog eat dog world.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Nobody's trying to help anybody. What I'm saying is no matter how far you go, there's still going to be those that make the mistakes because it's a dog eat dog world.
So why look at the downside? Why facilitate it?
Try to help them not make mistakes.
No, check it out. And this will probably encourage the athletes to stay all the way through and probably graduate.
Well, at least the ones who should. A good player who know he can go ain't going to. Hey, well, Rod, thanks for your call as usual, man. We're going to move on and talk about some other stuff. But that's a great question. We're going to pose that. on some of our social media sites and let everybody else get a hack at it, all right?
Great question. Great question.
We're going to sing them all. We're going to sing Kumbaya together, right?
Save them all.
Yeah,
all right, man.
Save them all.
War Room Revolution. Thank you.
All right, man.
No doubt,
right.
Homie. Take it easy.
That's Rob, our West.
Rob, all right,
so let's get into some more of this college stuff because, you know, speaking of Louisville, you know, that guard Kevin Ware had the gruesome injury in the final eight game against Duke, man. What did you guys, like, when you guys first saw the video of it and then saw the photo of it later, like, what did you think about an injury like that?
Like, I thought I was watching a monster movie.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't see it live, but my phone was blowing up. Dev sent me a text. So
I was one of the dudes blowing you up. Like,
yeah, Dev was one of them, but I was like, yo. And the funny thing is I was scared to look because if that many people text and tweet me and at me and telling me fake, I was like, yo, this has to be bad because there's no way this many people are calling me to see this. But anyway, of course I had to look because, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I want to see a car wreck. But I'm not going to lie, I watched it one time, and that was enough of me, yo. I couldn't go back, and, yo, it was enough. I've never seen nothing that bad. I've seen a lot of injuries, but I've never seen nothing that bad. And to see his teammates react, yo, it was kind of sad. I was like, how are they going to play
right.
the rest of the game?
See, it was crazy because, like, even watching it live, you didn't catch it live because it was just a bang-bang play. The dude from Duke was taking a three. He jumped out there to block the shot. The cameras moved off of it, but you saw the dude from Duke, after he made the shot, the play stopped. It didn't tell you why play stopped. Nobody called a timeout or anything. And he turned around with this look of horror. And then they started spanning over the floor, and you saw a lot of Louisville players on the floor. So I had no idea what was going on. I thought maybe somebody pepper sprayed the court or something, and, you know, people was just hitting the deck. So then they played the replay. They only played it. I'm going to say once. It was either once or twice they played the replay. I think it was twice because the first time you really couldn't get it. You know what I'm saying? It just looked like he jumped to block a shot and he fell. And then the second time when you really took a look at it, you saw his leg crumble, looked like it folded. Like, dude, just like his leg exploded, like he jumped onto a landmine or something. And it was crazy, man, because the bench didn't really see what happened either because if you look at them, they were just chilling until his leg was in the air and he came down and it was hanging the way it was hanging and the bone was sticking out. You saw everybody on the bench. You saw all the cheerleaders on the baseline. Everybody just went crazy. And a lot of people say, you know, that's a freak accident, this and that. I've actually spoken to some doctors about it this week because, you know, I don't want to come on the show speaking all ignorantly. And all the doctors, and I actually heard this from the person who worked on the guy as well. I read this part. But they said in order for something like that to happen, he had to have either stress fractures in his leg prior or he had some kind of bone problem. And I think the doctor that operated on him said, you know, he went the stress fracture route because your leg just doesn't do that off of – it was just a routine jump and landing. Like, your leg just doesn't do that. So, I mean, that's one of those things. A lot of people play through stress injuries because they think it's just, you know, some pain. You know, I'm going to play through that because this is a macho sport. But that's the kind of stuff that can happen, man. Mm. Terrible.
Mm. Yo, I oof. Oof. It looked
you know
like
what,
he,
Austin?
Like you said, it looked like he stepped on a landmine.
You know, Bradley Beal from the Wizards, he's going to miss the remaining few games of the season because he has stress fractures in his leg. And I couldn't help but wonder if that decision
if that
was made.
Had a bearing.
Because, yeah,
that
exactly.
Bearing.
They were like, look, we're the Wizards. We're not making
And there's
the
nothing for us to play for.
This is our first-round draft pick. Let these – because stress fractures basically heal from rest. There's nothing really you can – you know, it's crazy, man.
John Wall scored – John Wall scored 47, so that's like we made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's just shut him down and let it go.
Yeah, that was worse. To me, that was worse than McGahee. That was worse than Theismann. That was worse than Sean Livingston.
Yo, Theismann was just bad because the boy that hit him got up, like, waving in for the doctors, yo. I'll never forget that one, yo. Like, damn.
Yo, he jumped up like, yo, I broke him.
Yo,
somebody help.
Tim Crumrine. You remember Tim Cumrod for the Bengals? I think that was in the bowl.
That was in the Super Bowl. Because his leg was just dangling, like his bone just disintegrated or something.
Yo, his leg was just dangling. His leg was doing a stinky leg, like. And that was in the bowl. That's the only reason I remember Tim Cumrod's name is because of the injury.
I just
hope he gets better, man. You know, it is what it is. You know, well wishes to him. You know, and now they're trying to capitalize off it. You know, they're selling Kevin Ware, you know, jerseys with the number 5 and the Louisville thing. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Well, Rob
maybe
said, get that man an escrow.
Get an escrow account set up, B.
Well, we know Mike Rice from Rutgers, the head coach, well, the former head coach now, was fired because of the videotape that was finally leaked out, because it's not a new tape. The tape showed him basically shoving, grabbing, throwing basketballs at players and using gay slurs during practice. A former employee at the university gave Rutgers athletic director Tim Pernetti a copy of the video in like November, so they suspended him for 3 games then, but I don't think they announced how big of a deal, you know, the tape really was. I guess they like, you know, we're gonna discipline him, but we're not gonna tell the public how bad this really was. They fined him $50,000 and ordered him to attend anger management classes. What do you guys think about the fact that, you know, the AD heard about this back in November and didn't relieve the dude of his duties back then? What do you make of that?
When are they going to learn this is going to come out? Like, from the whole Penn State situation, like, you can't hide things no more. There's no such thing as privacy.
Social media.
Everybody walking is literally a media company. They have their own cameras, recorders. So there is no such thing as privacy. I just accepted that privacy doesn't exist anymore. So I just act like an a-hole, so, you know, I don't care when it comes back. But for the most part, there is no privacy. You can't hide things anymore.
Yeah, I heard a lot of sentiment, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's his guy. The AD hired him, so he figured if something went down like this with a guy you hired, then your job might be on the line. So he may have been covering it up for that reason. But the athletic director said when they punished him that they showed the university's president the tapes. And yesterday the university president denied that. So they got some stuff going on here at Rutgers. Like, you know, I guess the president doesn't want to, you know, cop to seeing it because he doesn't want the board of trustees to ask him to step down. So, I mean, on a very low level, not a crime like Penn State, but it seems like the same type of cover-up.
Everybody's trying to cover their own butts. If Rutgers gets the death penalty, they're going to float off into the Atlantic Ocean. They can't come back. They can't come back from anything like that.
Well, y'all do know that because they keep everybody's calling for the AD's job as well. And I'm thinking, if the president is going to sit here and say that the AD lied about him seeing the tape, then why hasn't he been removed the next day? But the AD was responsible for that lucrative deal, that lucrative deal that they just signed to be a part of the Big Ten. So a lot of people think that that's why he's holding on to his job. Everything is run by money, man. Everything is run by money.
From their brother. Yo, at the end of the day, man, yo, it's getting worse now with the assistant quitting. It's a big scandal. Yo, you just can't hide anything. I hope that a lot of universities recognize and just start coming clean. We may have a whole year full of sanctions and suspensions and firings, but, yo, it's not
Jimmy,
like it used to be.
I don't think they could keep it up, though, man, because, you know, Rutgers is a state university. They have a governor who's looking to do a presidential run. You know, this isn't the kind of thing he needs in his state. You know, two kids getting beat up at school by their coaches and teachers.
Yeah.
And stuff. I think he might eventually step in, Chris Christie, and you know, try to move the process along. I don't see a lot of people keeping their job. You know, we said earlier that news broke that an assistant coach resigned behind this, and they showed some more tapes of him getting involved with some of the players during practice. So that was just the culture. Like, let's just whoop their ass and make them better.
they had them boys pledging.
Yeah, that's like first rule of Fight Club. No one's talking about Fight Club.
yo. Damn, man, that's the University of Metal Soprano, man. This can't be going down like this, B.
Yeah, they had them boys online pledging, getting a butt whooped. And my angle was like this. I thought back to those Tarkanian teams, like UNLV. Can you imagine someone trying to put their hands on Larry Johnson or Stacey Ogden?
Larry Johnson was a grown-ass man, though. That's a little different.
I feel you, but that's kind of my point. There's a different type of player.
Austin, I'm thinking in today's day and age, I'm surprised that these kids let this go on. You know, everybody think they're tough now, so it's like, you that tough and you letting this dude slap you around like that?
Hey, P. Jizzle, what's your thoughts on the whole situation at Rutgers, yo?
I'm just wondering why, as I was looking at that tape, man, why was the coach like 3 feet away from cats throwing 800 mile per hour fastballs with the basketball at their domes, though? Like, he was throwing them right at their head. And I'm like,
PJ, he was throwing them walk passes. That's a walk pass back in the day.
The Husky Jones, and the only thing I'm wondering about the players is maybe some of them are there on scholarship and they don't want to. They're just accepting that because they don't want to lose their opportunity to go to school. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of as to why, because I'm like, man, that wouldn't fly in most schools where you got a lot of the athletes, especially the basketball team, when a lot of the players come from the inner cities. That's like, you know, they looking for something like that, you know.
That's what I'm saying. In today's day and age, I can't imagine kids putting up with that. Like, we've seen a lot of coaches – you know, from back in the day throughout our travels, not necessarily played for them, but we've seen coaches who get into their players' faces, who curse a lot, maybe grip them up, stuff like that. But, yo, you know, when I saw that tape, I'm just like, yo, who puts up with this? All right, even if you're not tough enough to do anything about it, you're not, like, calling home? Like, yo, they tripping. Tell your pop.
Yo, mom. Yo, mom. Coach.
Be like Vontae Davis and say, "I'm gonna call my grandma."
He probably knew who he was picking with, yo. He probably.
He was a bully.
You know, didn't throw the ball at certain people. Exactly, like a typical bully. He knew he could throw the ball. Probably was one dude that took all them hits to the head, yo.
he was throwing them at Rudy Rudiger.
You know him. He ain't even out there practicing. He would just throw the ball at the boy. He's
throwing him at the manager. Throw him at the manager that tried to walk on.
Yo, I'll tell you one thing, though. One thing I noticed is that his fastball is better than Doc Holliday's at this point.
Shout out to Brent Easley. Shout out to Brent.
Brent ain't pulling no punches. He know what it is these days. But, so that's a crazy story. And like we said, there's still developments coming out about that. You know, the coach didn't really have much to say. What could you say? Because it's basically one of those things where y'all basically got caught. And you're all apologetic now. But you've been working there. They knew about this since November. So, you know, let's not act like the apologies are all fresh and I embarrassed my family. You did that a long time ago. You just now.
Yo, I'd have flipped on the university. They knew. I'd have blamed them. Like, yo, they knew. They ain't care.
They told me to keep doing it.
What was Rutgers' record?
They told me it was cool as long as we ain't tape practice no more. Man, nobody care about their record. Did you guys hear about the whole Eddie Rush story? The former NBA ref who's now like the head ref of the Pac-12. before a Pac-12 tournament game, he commented to the officials working the game that he'd give them $5,000 or a trip to Cancun if they hit Sean Miller, Arizona's head coach, with a tech or ejected him during the conference tournament. Now, he claimed that he said this in jest. You know, he was just messing around. The funny thing about it is Sean Miller got hit with a tech during that game. So I'm wondering,
Somebody had to collect.
I saw what happened.
Who collected off that tech?
It was a black dude. He probably went to him after the game like, yo, what's up with my money?
I want to go to Cancun. I prefer to stay at the Westin if you can, brother.
Yo, so what do y'all think about this? Do y'all take it serious or do y'all believe him when he say it was in jest?
No, man. I mean,
some things you say, even if they are in jest, you don't say them anyway.
You don't say them. It's time for your award, Jimmy.
But it's one of those things. It's like what Jimmy said. Nothing's private these days. So even if he was joking, it's like stories get out. Somebody's going to snitch. Somebody's going to record it. Somebody's going to say something. And I still want to know if dude that ran that gave him the text. I want to know if he got his money.
Stewie,
like,
hey.
Hey there. So it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh,
got my money, look.
Yeah, my money.
You know he has a history. Well, I'm not going to say a history, but Tim Donaghy, when he wrote that book, he said that because you know Ed Rush and Mark Cuban have a history. So he told Mike Fish that Rush was a bully back when they ref together, and that he used to tell NBA officials to stick it up Mark Cuban's rear end. So I mean, that won't help his case to hear that he said stuff like this before, telling refs to do certain things to hurt certain people. So that's not really going to help homie's case in this whole situation. But the Pac-12, they're basically backing him. You know, they believe that it was in jest. So
why
would
people still do these kind of things and they think it won't come out, man?
Yeah.
Like B. Austin said, man, Ed Rush, man, you know, it's like...
The way you carry yourself.
It was one of those things where, I don't know, you just got to watch what you say, man. You got to watch what you say because it's, everything's going to get out these days. So if you care,
brother is
if
watching.
You care, watch what you say. I mean, if you don't care, then, you know, say what you're going to say. So what?
Mm-hmm. I prefer those that don't care.
I mean, if you say you don't care, just don't be one of them dudes later on, you know, all complaining and bitching.
Recanting your statement.
Yeah, and making apologies and all that kind of stuff. But, all right,
yeah.
Well, let's, in other news, we don't have to really talk about it, but, you know, of course, Tubby Smith, who was fired last week, already got a new job with Texas Tech. Andy Enfield, the coach of Florida Gulf Coast University, got a new job with USC, so his salary went up. He was making like $157,000 at Florida Gulf Coast. He's going to make $1 million per year at USC. He told them young boys, holla.
I wonder how many players are going with him.
Yo. I go by the name of Pharrell from the Neptunes.
Yo, my man,
yeah, he got him.
That's a nice come up.
Yeah, that is a nice come up. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Final Four, man, because I know y'all saw the Sweet 16 comeback for Michigan over Kansas. They've been playing really well ever since, like, the seven-minute mark of that game, and you know, they kind of look like a juggernaut. Do you guys think that that comeback may have given Michigan the momentum they need to take this thing all the way, or do you think that, you know, their time might run out against Syracuse?
I think Tim Hardaway didn't spend enough time on his son's handle. I'm sorry. I pick Louis. I think they're gonna win this Final Four game, and it's gonna propel them into the chip game against Louisville. That's what I see.
Right.
They're gonna have to contest with that zone from Syracuse. They got that old medical zone, man, or something. Like,
I just find it funny how some teams play Syracuse and look like they haven't even prepared to play the zone. I swear to
you.
Know
what? I mean, I think it's easier for teams in their conference who have seen it year, you know, coaches who've seen it year after year.
That 23
right.
Is
teams
tough.
outside of their conference, man, they look like they've never faced anything like that ever because Syracuse doesn't score much. But, you know, you can't
don't
score on
to.
Them. Yeah. And like PJ said, it's a lot like Temple's matchup zone. I don't know why they don't call it that because it's like a matchup zone because it has one-on-one principles. If somebody's in your area, you're basically guarding them, you know, until they swing the ball to another side of the court. So I'm wondering why we don't hear that term anymore because what it looks like to me is a matchup zone. But either way, man, it's difficult to score on. And, you know, they force you into taking a lot of bad jump shots. A lot of three-pointers, and if you're not completely on fire, man, they're just hard to beat. So Trey Burke is nice. You know, they have a nice backcourt. But I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't think I didn't have either one of them going this far. So it's kind of a tough call for me because the way Michigan has been playing, you know, ever since the the end of that Kansas game, man, you can easily see them making it to the championship game.
I did have Michigan, but I didn't have the Q's. But even with that being said, man, it's all luck anyway. You know, anybody tells you that they're an expert in the brackets is a liar. But anyway, it's tough. At this point, when you get down to four teams, man, like this is the cream of the crop. Or the teams that are playing the best at the right time, which sometimes is more important than being the best team. But
I think that even counts for Syracuse right now because
they
haven't looked like this much this year, and now they're just balling.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, man. And, you know, it's sort of like even though they're Syracuse, it's not a – so Syracuse is, of course, a juggernaut. It's a big team, the Big East. I mean, well, no longer, but Syracuse is a big school. But for some reason, when watching this tournament, it's like, I don't know how, but they seem to be, like, under the radar. The whole talk is about Louisville or, you know, or even Michigan, the way they're playing. No one's really talking about this Syracuse run the way they normally would, considering they're Syracuse.
Right.
True. That's weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, it is weird, but like I said, they haven't been playing like this, but this is the best time to play this way, I guess, you know.
How do you play under the radar at Syracuse, though? That's just crazy to me.
I don't think they went under the radar. I don't think they were playing that well. Because they have the same problems that they had during the season, and that's scoring a lot of points. But it seems like they just ratcheted up that zone a little bit, and it's smothering people. Louisville's the kind of the same way, man. When they want to pressure you, they're not playing a zone or anything, but when they want to put the pressure on, because that's what they did to Duke. Like, they pressured Duke. They didn't let Seth Curry get into any kind of comfort zone, and then they did a lot of running in return. You know, Duke wasn't really getting back in transition, and Louisville was just having a layup line. That's kind of how, you know, we're kind of moving ahead as if Michigan doesn't have a chance. But anybody who plays Syracuse, that's probably how they have to play. They have to try to get out in transition and get buckets before they set their zone up. Because if you go into the half court and you allow them to set the zone up, then you're going to have a hard time scoring.
Man, Michigan might run them out the building.
You're right, because that's the strength of Michigan. They get out and they run. Trey Burke, Hardaway kid and the Robinson kid, they get out, they push the ball, and they go. So I think that's going to be a really good game. You know, I think Wichita State, I think they're pretty much done, but who knows?
Yeah.
Butler made
they
the final
that,
game 2 years in a row, so who knows?
The Wichita State Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that gentleman's name, the gentleman that wears goggles on their team, yo. Ball got like a stone cold big man game. He's like one of them dudes that's not a 7-footer but got a back to the basket old head 7-foot game. Weird looking ball, but they got some athletes on that Wichita. Like, how do these people end up in Wichita State? Anyway, I wouldn't count them out though.
Kansas.
Yeah, well, I'm like, those are probably the trickle down people who couldn't, you know, get recruited to Kansas.
Jimmy
Kansas
telling them,
State,
Jimmy,
you know,
y'all can't get paid.
trickle down theory, man. So all right, so I mean, we'll see how it goes down on Saturday night, man. I'm a little salty because, you know, we're supposed to be down there. Stuff didn't work out, but we'll be at the Final Four next year. I guess let's talk a little. Well, let's go into NFL. We'll just. You know,
we know
baseball started. We just wanted to mention that, you know, MLB season started. We almost had a perfect game. We almost had a no-hitter by Hugh Darvish and didn't work out for him quite too much. The Nationals are on fire to start the season, but, you know, they're playing the Marlins, so that's not really much of a test. The Phillies stink. The Braves are a home run juggernaut. Doc Holliday is done. Verlander got paid.
All right. That's what's going on with baseball. Matt Kent can't get a hit to save his life. That's pretty much what's going on with baseball, yo. FOH to Matt Kent, because I had him finishing the top three for the MVP. And anyway, it's a long, long season. Let's talk about the NFL, which is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer. Or your iPhone or your Android phone. If you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, go to your roof and jump off. But before you do, make sure you listen to a couple episodes of The War Room because you can listen on your BlackBerry or your Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No sticking needed or no memory or storage wasted. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room. That's one word. Enter the coupon code The War Room to enter into a contest to win some money. And who doesn't like money? And guess what? You win your money right away. It's not put in a trust or annuity for you. Anyway, that's
no
what
escrow.
I want to talk about.
No escrow.
For the money. Let's talk about Tony Romo.
Romo!
Romo!
Tony Romo got a nice contract, $55 million guaranteed. So the question everybody's talking about is the Cowboys overpay or is that market value? What do you guys think about the Tony Romo contract?
I think they absolutely overpaid, but, you know, like we always have to remind people. I mean, first of all, the Cowboys were in a situation where there wasn't much out there, you know, other than what they already have. Tony Romo is a very good quarterback. You know, people say what they want to say about him. He does come up short in some clutch moments, but I think he takes the brunt. I think he takes a little more of the brunt of the problems of the Dallas Cowboys strictly because, you know, besides everybody who's a Dallas Cowboys bandwagon fan, there's no in-between. Either you love the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys. Really?
Yes.
But,
Guess that.
So it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, because they're the Cowboys, everybody likes to see them fail, including myself, because I'm a fan of a team in the division. But, I can be objective. I can be honest. And Tony Romo is a very good quarterback. $55 million guaranteed? I'm not too sure about that. But, hey.
It's the market. It's the market.
I mean, but is it? Hey. Flacco just got for a minute, he got the highest, the richest contract ever. You know, and Tony Romo got more guaranteed money to him. Now, I mean, statistically, Tony Romo is better than Joe Flacco. Statistically, Tony Romo is better than a lot of people. But, you know, Flacco's whole thing was about the run he just had, the Super Bowl
right.
he just won. So a lot of people would think, like, how could that be the market for Tony Romo? Or is that just the market for Jarrell Jones?
Well, for the benefit of our listeners, unless you have that major playoff run and defining moments, typically when agents are negotiating a deal, they're you know, 70, 80, 90% of that conversation is about statistically where their player has performed. So statistically, when you hold Tony Romo up, you know, this is what you have. And then for the franchise to come back and say, oh, well, he's a choker, that shows bad faith on their part. So what, you know, what's the counter argument to the statistics that the agent is going to present? So statistically, you know, the market is made. I think personally that Tony Romo gets a bad rap, and here's why. He's overrated by virtue of the team he plays on, so the expectations are way higher than they should be. The Cowboys have not been a talented squad for at least half a decade, and they always get overrated. The pundits and the talking heads fall into it, and they spew this garbage out there like the Cowboys are a great team. And then what it falls to is Tony Romo, who's not a once-in-a-generation talent, ends up having to carry a mediocre team, and it blows up in their faces at times.
Listen, man, have
and
you
I think
had
you
got
to surround them with better
talent. You're the Cowboys quarterback. That comes with that, yo. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but at the end of the day.
But I don't think that's fair, though. I mean, that's like, I don't put the Cowboys on a pedestal like that. But,
I know we don't.
Too many people.
We know they're not garbage. We know they are garbage. And Tony Romo's not, but too many people do. They overtalk their talent. They're not a good
defending,
team.
I hate defending Tony Romo. I hate talking about Romo because, you know, I watch him play and I see he's like, you know, we talked about Ben Gordon earlier. I didn't want to compare him to Ben Gordon. He's one of those guys, and you watch him play, and he makes, like, plays, and you're like, wow, this guy's an excellent quarterback. But it just seems that every time I defend this guy, at the worst possible time, he makes the stupidest decision, and he constantly does it.
You know what it is, Jimmy, though? They're asking Tony Romo to make the spectacular happen far too much for his talent level, and it bites them in the butt. When he doesn't have to be spectacular, he's still trying to be spectacular.
You know what what people forget though, when people are so critical of Tony Romo, I think people forget that he was an undrafted free agent. So no matter how you slice it, Tony Romo is an overachiever. No matter how you slice it, he's an overachiever. But like Jimmy said, because he's the Cowboys quarterback, you know, all of that is thrown out of the window. And people are like, you quarterback the Cowboys. But, you know, the Cowboys ain't had a good quarterback. I mean, before Romo, they ain't had a good quarterback basically since Troy Aikman. So, you know, I don't want to hear all that Cowboy quarterback on the pedestal and all that. Hey, come on.
Not in terms of accomplishment, but that's how they're marketed and that's how they're accepted and received. So it is what it is, man. In terms of the whole thing, Austin mentioned that this is what they had to pay him in terms of what the market dictated they had to pay him. And I don't even think it's one of those things where it's like, look where he is statistically. I think it's one of those things where, like, okay, if we don't go on Romo, where the hell else are we going to go? Let's look around and see who's coming in the draft. Let's look around and see who's a free agent. You know what?
I think there's a lot of flip floppers out there, a lot of hypocrites. Because I don't know, when we're talking about anything else, everybody's all throwing this stuff in our face that numbers never lie, this and that. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. But when we talk about people like Tony Romo, because people don't necessarily like him, but probably because of who he plays for, and like you said, they probably overhype him because he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. People seem to forget about, you know, their whole theory of numbers not lying, you know, because he's a stat monster. You know, you can say anything you want about him. He's a choker because he's definitely that at times. But he's a stat monster. So if numbers don't lie to you, you know, in this conversation, then how come they lie in this conversation? We try to tell you that all the time.
Tony Romo is this, yo. Tony Romo is everything. He's a stat monster. He's a good quarterback. He's also a bum and a choke. He's all those things.
he encompasses everything in one person.
He's everything.
Hey, PJ.
That's what it boils down to.
PJ, what do you think about your man's tweet about Tony Romo's contract? Donovan McNabb tweeted.
Off to him.
He said, Tony Romo, 6 years, $55 million. First of all, you got the numbers wrong. He said, 6 years, $55 million, with only one playoff win? You got to be kidding me. Ironically, that playoff win came against him. But what do you think about McNabb coming at Romo on Twitter like that?
If nothing else, McNabb is consistent. The snitch, corny, jealous little chump that he was when he played here is the same thing that he is as an announcer. And in his new career, he is consistent. He's a hater. It's like he was hating on RG3. Like, I mean, I could write a book report on the amount of times that he said some backhanded. I mean, at least he was direct with this. I mean, a lot of times it's more passive aggressive than that. But at least
he didn't want to do black on black crime with RG3.
Yeah, exactly. Like him and T.O. and all that. Yeah. But I mean, like. That's, you know, just all the points that y'all just made is to part of the reason that he probably got paid like that. But for Donovan McNabb to be like that, I mean, dog, like, you know, I can't really objectively make comments about Donovan McNabb. I don't want to just sound like a hater, but.
So you just give us the facts. He's 33 and he can't get a job.
Who, McNabb?
That's fact. Yeah.
Yo,
I'm 33, man.
And I pointed out.
Yeah, now he's 35, but. He was 33.
But he hasn't been able to get a job.
Oh, you're saying when he was 33 and couldn't. Oh, okay, I got you.
He couldn't get a job. He's 35. Now he's 36 and can't get a job. But
right,
he was 33.
Now, I qualify this for everybody who's going to get upset. But like I told somebody earlier today, statistically, Tony Romo's a far better quarterback than Donovan McNabb. Statistically.
And like I told you
I'm not even
today,
getting into everything else.
You can take the qualifier off of that.
I mean, he might be a better quarterback just in general. I don't know, man.
I'm not saying that I don't think that.
I'm just throwing it out there because, you know, like Jimmy said, a lot of the time these numbers have something to do with the reason that you get paid. So statistically, how could Donovan McNabb be the one arguing something like that? Romo has about, in 7 seasons as a starting quarterback, he has about 4,000-yard-plus seasons. He had 4,900 last year. McNabb's never thrown for 4,000 yards in his life. Romo has five seasons with over 25 touchdowns. McNabb only has one season over 25 touchdowns. He had a 25 and he had a 31, and then the rest of them were like 23 and below. Romo had like, he got like a 36. He got a couple of 30s. He's been over 25 touchdowns five times. So it's like, you know, don't go in there and play him out and, you know, you're not even comparing. Then you're going to talk about his playoff win that came against you.
Right.
Because you were playing.
And he
like
made $100 million with us. He made like $100 million with the, I mean, ain't like he ain't get paid in life now.
And you ain't tweet when Michael Vick got 200. He ain't tweet when Michael Vick got $200 million contract.
Exactly.
And he averages 2,027 yards per season and 12 touchdowns. Come on, man.
Say the rest. 59% completions and 81 passer rating and 167 yards a game and for his career. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. McNabb is going
to
irritate the heck out of me.
Screen door.
McNabb is going to irritate the heck out of me in this new profession. I'm telling you, cuz.
Yo.
If he's going to come off like that, like he's going to shoot from the hip like that, I'm like, I mean, I granted, a lot of people do it, and a lot of people who are ex-players were not that good, and sometimes they talk a little crazy. But I guess McNabb is just, it hits home with me, because he grew up.
You're an Eagles fan.
Yeah,
I'm
and
trying
I lived
to move,
and died
I'm
with all his
move on.
Tomfoolery.
I'm trying to move on.
But we're
going to
keep hearing
about that,
people,
but I
he's going to stay in the news with these comments, though, because that's his job now. So
we ain't going to be able to move on yet, because, Jimmy, we
yeah,
got a call on the line. I know my man Marie from D.C. is calling in. He's a Skins fan, so you know he ain't going to say nothing
and a McNabb
about
apologist.
Tony Romo.
And a McNabb apologist.
Hold up. He can't say nothing positive about Donovan McScad, can he?
He played for them.
Yo.
He's a Redskin.
Oh, that's why I forgot he played for the Redskins.
Yo, man,
he
know
did
what
he
it's like
for the
right
job
now.
I don't
the
know
Reds.
If he played. He did something.
Yo,
for
me, yo, from
yo,
McNabb, it's like, us talking. Yeah, he did. Us talking about McNabb is like a coward. Is like a coward dying a thousand deaths. We gotta constantly bring this dude up and kill him.
And constantly drunk. PJ don't mind everything he says. Let's bring Vareen on, yo. Yo, what's up, homie? What's up, Vareen? What's good?
Hey, Devin, what's good? B. Austin.
What's up,
yo? What's poppin', my homie?
Appreciate y'all giving me a little airtime on the war room.
Oh man,
in the war room.
Always.
Yeah, why do y'all hate McNabb like that?
He's a bum.
Y'all don't
really
with him at all.
He stinks. Well, I don't hate him.
I do.
B. Austin hates him. Like, if he saw him, he might try to fight him, whether he could beat him or not. PJ, you on the borderline? You hate
him? I'm not as bad as Austin, but I'm cool. Like, I mean, if he look at me, if he give me more than like a 3-second stare, if I pass him, I might go in his mouth. Austin is on site.
I don't think McNabb would fight.
For me, this is Jimmy. I'm not on the line of B. Austin. I don't think anybody is. But for me, I just think that he's overrated in the grand scheme of things. I watched him play. I saw all the ground balls that he threw, all the bounce passes that were, you know, second to Tim Hardaway.
All the 2 yard screen passes,
all the bad
running
time
back
management.
60 that he got credit
exactly.
for.
All the Brian Westbrook who don't get enough
so
credit.
Me,
Brian
like,
Westbrook. Go ahead.
For me, it's like this. There are worse quarterbacks that play in the league. But when people start to like bring his name up amongst the greats, it bothers me. When people talk about his playoff wins, it bothers me because, you know, the defense really didn't get any credit for those wins. And, you know, that's where I think of him as being overrated. That's it. I don't hate him. He doesn't disgust me the way he does B. Austin or PJ, but then again, they're Eagles fans who had to live and die with his decision-making. I didn't. I've been being objective and watching his game.
Yo, I curse Wilma, yo.
Do you realize in the Super Bowl, he threw an interception, a horrible pass to Brian Westbrook in the end zone, was called back because of the pass.
And did
he got the ball back through the same pass again in the same coverage and got it picked off again. I said, hey, look here, man, look. If you come on, man, and people and around the nation, he used to be like considered like a top, in the talk for top five quarterback. And I'm like, y'all are tripping when y'all try to put him in that conversation.
And the last
I'm gonna let you talk,
Rick,
because you called
me.
I could do this all night.
I question his leadership. That's the last point I want to make. Is because some of the things he used to say in the media, or when you see him around town, the way he acted, he has an arrogant attitude. If you see McNabb in person, he always acted as if he was like, you know, the next coming of Joe Montana.
Well,
and
Jimmy,
when
if everybody
– he threw his defense under the bus. When he said, you know, I did what I was supposed to.
If all the apologists always tell him that it's not his fault, he probably started to believe his own hype. But go ahead, Marie. What do you think about these
Jimmy,
two?
Jimmy, I have one question for you, Jimmy.
Yes.
McNabb, Tony Romo. Which one would you take? Both in their prime.
In their prime? With everything else being
both
equal.
Both in their prime.
Or what team, though? On the Cowboys team or on the McNabb teams in their prime?
You're starting
like, in other
prime
words,
I would take Tony Romo with those Eagles teams.
I would take Romo, player. Sorry, I would.
You would take Romo?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably all of McNabb's accomplishments.
But see,
his accomplishments weren't personal. They were team.
I mean, he made accomplishments, and the quarterback is always going to get it. But at the same time, you got to look at where we got and why we didn't get over the hump. You got to look at that Carolina Panthers game and them three interceptions that he threw to Manning.
You
got to look at the Tampa Bay game and the passes that he threw. You got to see McNabb on the biggest stages, not during the season when we playing in a horrible NFC East. Yeah,
man,
the whole NFC was horrible during that. But I don't think
when you
Romo,
talk about accomplishments, are you speaking of team accomplishments or personal? Because Romo has personal.
Romo has
just
far more.
I mean, Pro Bowls, you know.
Pro Bowls.
Out of his six Pro Bowls, he made two of them legitimately. He was a replacement for four Pro Bowls. Check, go look
and,
it up.
Romo choked, but McNabb choked on every one of them NFC championship games.
He was a replacement for
Atlanta.
Four Pro Bowls on some, like, Jeff Garcia didn't want to play, Brett Favre didn't want to play type stuff. He was a replacement for a few of those Pro Bowls. Yes, he was.
Right.
He was a Jeff Garcia replacement one year.
Yeah.
Let me look at the Arizona Falcons game, the last NFC Championship game that he lost. We were down. We got the thanks to a good drive by that bum McNabb. We got the lead and went up early in the fourth quarter. I mean, in the fourth quarter, we took the lead. I think we were up by like 6 or 3. I don't remember that exact numbers, but it was about like 8 minutes left in the game. So he did lead a drive. Defense got on the field. Arizona came back. Kurt Warner led them to a drive, and they took the lead. And then the next time we got the ball back, McNabb was on some bull trash doing dumb stuff.
We went negative three yards on that drive.
And then in the press conference, he's talking about, I did what I had to do. I got us the lead. As if you can stop playing with like 8 minutes left
that
in the game.
The game's not over.
You can't talk like he throw the defense under the bus, dog. The reason we got to all those NFC championships was because of the defense and Jim Johnson, man. Not Andy Reid in that offense.
Right.
Let me give you an example real quick because everybody wants to give McNabb all of the credit. When McNabb, every time McNabb went down with an injury, the team kept chugging along except for that year when everybody got hurt and Mike McMahon bum ass was on the field. Think about this. The year they played Carolina in the NFC Championship, if you remember, McNabb got hurt with the ankle injury. What's the name? Detmer came in and was killing San Francisco. Then he got hurt halfway through that game. So AJ Feely comes on for the rest of the season, goes 4-1. The only reason they lost the Giants game is because Akers, who was reliable back then, missed a chip shot field goal.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, everybody's talking about McNabb. If he's that great and he's not a product of the system, then how come Andy Reid always just plugged somebody in, and they played, and the team never really lost a beat? You remember the Eagles were counted out that year when Jeff Garcia came in. We were done.
Yep.
Jeff Garcia comes
in.
We get blasted by the Colts, and everybody say the Eagles are done. They go on like a 6-game winning streak. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. If he's that great, then the team shouldn't be that good without him. You know?
Right.
But I don't know, man. Devin, I was looking at what McNabb has accomplished. I mean, he's been to the championship game. He's been deep in the playoffs. He's played in the Super Bowl. I mean, you guys watched him up close more than, you know, more than what I have. But, you know, just looking at that alone, I was saying that you can't put him in the same sentence as Romo. Because Romo barely makes the playoffs.
He's had a better team. He's had a better team than Romo.
That's why I told you.
But I mean, Romo had Terrell Owens.
when we were speaking earlier, remember I was saying statistically, if we're going to say accomplishments, you know, no matter
whether or not
McNabb had a good team or not, he's obviously accomplished more than Tony Romo, so I can't argue with that.
Those are team accomplishments.
Only NFC Championship game he won was against Michael Vick. That should tell you a lot, man. Out of five of them.
Not even just NFC Championship game. PJ, if you go back to those runs, we never really offensively dominated any team in the playoffs. The NFC was just that weak.
It was that weak.
We played the Vikings.
We played Atlanta
in the championship game.
The NFC East was deplorable. I mean, we were beginning of the season, we just were automatically the champs. Like, it wasn't even no reason to play them NFC East games.
This is one of those things, man, where the team has to come into account. So, I mean, look at
he was a Donovan McNabb was a king of the dink and dunk, though. Like, that's what a lot of us see, because we used to watch the Eagles game so much. Like, a lot of McNabb stats, I'm not saying that he just was a, I'm going to be real, he wasn't a bum quarterback, but I think he was.
Yes, he was.
he was overrated so much is because people might have been looking at his stats instead of looking at this team. This team was a dink and dunk team like a mug, yo. I mean, we used to go to the tight end dink and dunk. We used to go to the to Westbrook out of the backfield, Deuce Staley and them guys out of the backfield for a lot of third downs, dink and dunk, and they make the play. I mean, I don't know. I looked at that team under a microscope.
Said something real interesting earlier to me on Facebook. He was telling me that McNabb has never thrown for over 4,000 yards. And that was real interesting. Like, I did not know that.
And that's what a season
he's never
is
thrown
Terrell
for 4,000 yards?
And that's
and
with
he's only,
TL.
And he's only been over 25 touchdowns twice. And that was a 25-touchdown season, and he had 31 the year he was with T.O. He's never been to 4,000 yards. And Andy Reid passes the ball every play.
But wasn't he a mobile quarterback at one point? Wasn't he doing a lot on the ground at one
then,
point? Like
how did that he wanted
like
not to be a black quarterback?
He didn't want to be put in that box, so he stopped running.
So he started throwing more grounders.
Where's Akil?
He's not on tonight.
He's not with us tonight.
Okay.
He want to hear Akil crap on Romo. I mean, with Romo, Akil thinks Romo's good. He doesn't think he's elite or anything like that.
I
want to
know which
paid.
One he would take, which quarterback he would take.
Do you
think McNabb would be considered an elite quarterback?
Was he ever an elite quarterback at any point?
Would you have considered him an elite? You think so?
I think he was at one point.
An elite quarterback.
Why? How?
I
would say very early in his career. Very early in his career.
Elite because he could run fast?
I don't get what he did to become elite. Like, I don't know. Like, I see a lot of people saw how the Eagles were dominating them years, and then McNabb was the quarterback, and they just
Sports
assumed
Center
he was
show
to
him. PJ Sports Center show him running around, throw a 60-yard bomb, and then everybody like,
yeah,
that is the truth.
All
right. You know what? That could be very, you know, that could be the point right there because – yeah, we didn't watch the games, but, you know, we would see them on prime time here and there.
And then they would also make it that the Philly fans were so the Philly fans were so hard on them. So it was like everybody was like, you know, the Philly fans are such tough fans. Nobody appreciates them. And a lot of, like, his people that played with him, a lot of ex-players always put that in his head because they still talk like that. Like, we never gave him a chance. We didn't appreciate him. He wasn't this and that. Then he goes to Washington and loses his job
and shows
to
that
bum.
I warned Redskins fans, man. They were so happy when they got the game.
They was happy.
I warned y'all, man.
We didn't know each other back then, man. I would have warned you if we knew each other back then, man.
This is awesome. I've been quiet throughout this and let my brothers kind of handle it because I'm the only one that's openly biased against dude. Like, I would say something that would get us kicked off the air and we on Blog Talk. Like, I hate dudes so much. I can give you all the stats. I can give you all of the logic behind it. But at the end of the day, all of that has been internalized to the point where I hate dude. But I will say this. When you're 33 years old, as a NFL quarterback, you're in the middle to the other side of your prime. His contemporaries all signed high guarantee, 30, 40, 50 million guaranteed nine-figure deals, whether you want to talk about Drew Brees, Tom Brady, both Mannings,
all of those guys were getting paid. Peyton Manning came off of having no spine, and he gets paid. At 32 and 33 years old, at 32 and 33 years old, no one wanted Donovan McNabb because the film was out.
He's going to lower his age every time he talks about it. He's going to be like, McNabb's going to be like 25 years old on the next
at 16 years of age.
Yo, no, but it was 30. It was 33 for real. It was 33. Was his last was when he was with y'all, and then he went to the Vikings and was throwing seven completions, 37 yards with Percy Harvin and the beast behind it. There, dude is a system guy, and people don't realize that for 10 years our defense was holding teams under 20 points a game, or at least under 21 points a game. So when you have an NFL defense holding teams to 21, yo, you're supposed to go out and score 24. That's not difficult if you're a perennial playoff team. This dude is highly
and David Ingram's been giving us like 9 points a game.
Highly
maybe because he lit our asses up, man. I know every time we play, he lit our asses up.
That was Westbrook.
But that ain't hard to be in here. I mean, y'all secondary. I mean, y'all secondary would bite at a sneeze. And
y'all been trash
like...
since Mark Rippon. y'all just coming back. Y'all coming back, and
Mark
now
Rippon.
Y'all gonna get back it up. Back it up. But y'all, we were supposed to do that. We were supposed to dominate the NFC East. That's not a testament to
Donovan. Y'all keep saying
the
NFC East, man. Y'all must not remember how weak the whole NFC was at that time.
NFC
was so weak that the Eagles used to base their whole draft around beating the St. Louis Rams. Remember they picked up like three cornerbacks in one draft because they only felt there was one team that was any threat. That's why Eagles fans take that Tampa Bay loss so bad to this day because we own Tampa Bay. There's no way you're supposed to lose to the Buccaneers.
But what
y'all
don't understand, Dev,
after St. Louis,
Rondae
every
Barber,
championship game they went into, they were the favorites. And
Rondae Barber is one of McNabb's leading receivers. They're cool. So,
all right, man, we didn't talk like 90 minutes about McNabb, man. All right,
y'all can't start that.
Yeah, I know. Y'all start that. That's like the whole show. So, Varee, you would definitely take McNabb over Romo, though, right?
I think a lot of people would, just looking at his body of work and everything he accomplished.
Varee, the last thing I want to say is this, though. I understand that you would take him, but when you say body of work, you're bringing up, you know, team accomplishments versus personal. Because personally, as a quarterback,
personally,
he's not even close. Romo is far away superior. And you look at team accomplishments, yes, McNabb has more team accomplishments. But if you're starting your team, you're not bringing the whole team with you. You're just bringing McNabb with you.
But when you just brought McNabb with you to the
Vikings, you saw what happened when they just brought McNabb and they didn't bring
him. He wasn't
team.
Out of his prime.
Here's what
I come back to, looking at what Romo has done when it's time for him to get into the playoffs. He can't do it. You know, I remember one year. I think y'all beat them. What it was 44-6.
It was, but
in the game
that's
that was
exactly.
To be.
But 44-6. Would you blame that on one player?
Would you blame that on
that
one?
Was ass with me.
44-6.
They were turning the ball over and stuff.
Like we jumped on them, and then
look at just this year. You know, against the rookie.
Yeah, he choked.
In that
spot,
he throws an interception.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. Was McNabb that bad when he was in big?
No, he was bad. I mean, put it like this: when you just think about this, when he left the Eagles and he left that whole team to get his team accomplishments, when you saw him as an individual go to a different team,
terrible.
He lost his job,
and he
wasn't
out of his prime, Varee. We can't even use age. We can't use
because
age.
He was still on his prime. He was 30,
yo,
he, 30 years
the,
old.
The Skins beat the Eagles. And he went into the locker room bragging, and he had 100 yards passing.
Yo!
They made a mistake. I'm like, yo, you just threw for 100 yards, dog. We didn't make a mistake.
Yo, did you hear how corny he sounded? Oh, when I heard that sound bite, boy, I'm finna kick something. Oh, man, I'm finna take on my toes off.
God.
Hey, hey, he's talking about, hey, shh, let me get this. Hey, let me tell you something. Everybody make mistakes. Now, this is the one they done made.
I'm like, nigga, yo.
All right, let me stop. I'm about to get on my Austins and get us kicked off. I'm gonna go ahead and
yo,
move side for a minute.
You just threw for a
hey, man,
yards.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate y'all taking
hey,
my
thanks,
call, man.
Thanks for your call, man.
No doubt, bro.
Appreciate it, dude, man.
That's my man, Bree, man.
Mad, yo. He, ooh, ain't too many
no,
Bree, ass men.
Bree,
like
Bree, you're listening, Bree. You just changed the dynamic of the show.
I know. You got that joke is frustrated. You got to calm down now. Woo side
like
a little bit.
Hell, yo.
Oh, you got attitude.
Yo, it did just get, like, it got real hot in here. Like, I'm
like,
real hot up under the collar.
They'd be
hot,
trying to be professional.
Let's move on, though. Matt Flynn, I could
hey.
Read you something that'll make you feel a little bit worse. I don't know if I should or not. Matter of fact, I am.
Yeah.
Yo, here's what LaVoy
I about
said.
To say the rest of these, we're just going to have to give the facts and move on.
Here's what LaVoy said to hear what your response is to this. He said, we talk about McNabb, Dinkin, and Duncan. He said, McNabb, Dinkin, Duncan is no different than Steve Young, Tom Brady, and Montana. They Dinkin, Duncan as well.
Yo, I'll smack the ish out of you.
They could also go down the field. They could also throw post patterns. They could
you
also
know what
throw.
The difference was, PJ?
What was that?
Those dudes could throw accurate slants and get
right.
run after the catch.
Right.
Think about Jerry Rice's whole career. Is him going across the middle, catching the ball, and using speed that people didn't even know he had because he could run full speed to catch the ball. Now,
right.
anybody who really watch Eagles games, we're supposed to be running a West Coast offense, but all of the patterns turned into, like, button hooks, anything to make the receiver stationary so he can
right.
throw the ball without them being on the move. So let's not really
exactly.
try to compare him to them dudes because he wasn't a dink and dunk and short slant routes are two different things, man.
Right, right.
Two different
exactly.
things.
I see exactly. That's what I said because that's exactly what it was.
Yo, Andy changed the West Coast offense to a stationary route running offense.
He turned it to a
how many times them dudes just turn around so they can look
exactly.
dude right in his face and he can throw them the ball right to their
yo,
chest.
And they still
going
down to dig it out
bring,
the ground, though.
I'm going to try and bring some value beyond just clowning on McNabb, but, yo, I don't know whether to be happy with Andy for being smart enough to devise that offense and adapt or curse the very ground that he walks on for
being
sticking
stubborn.
Us with that dude and being stubborn for a decade or more of our lives, yo. Because he could have got something. He could have done something else. He could have done what he's the QB whisperer. He could have cut bait and traded McNabb for the entire NFL draft in like 2004, 2005.
All right, man. We give
him
too much airtime.
Yeah,
he ain't played
right
in 2 years.
Yo. only thing I want to do is mention a couple other moves, a couple quarterback moves. Matt Flynn was traded to Oakland.
Matt Flynn was grinding. My bad.
Stay off the liquor, yo. Carson Palmer was traded to Arizona. Y'all man,
yeah.
PJ's homie. Nah,
Palmer got a
1 year, 2 year.
He restructured with the Cardinals. 2 years, $16 million, $10 million guaranteed.
Yeah, he's a quitter. Pat White, I want to get PJ's take on this story.
Yeah.
Pat White, he joined a lawsuit against the NFL for concussion, although he only had one concussion his rookie year. But he said because of that one concussion, he was suffering, with headaches and a lot of other injuries.
Memory loss.
Memory loss, all kinds of stuff. So the Redskins showed interest in signing him to play now. Once the Redskins did so, Pat White dropped his lawsuit.
Because he the one trying to hustle. He the one trying to be out there grinding. He trying to get a hustle like a fake injury. Yo, he's tripping, man. Pat White, and on top of that, Pat White stinks. I mean, that's what it should be at the basis of this whole story. He's a stinking bum. He tried to get a chase because he knew he ain't got no career in the NFL. He's like, try to get a chase and join the daggone concussion lawsuit from one concussion. Come on, and then he gonna drop it when the Redskins want to holler at him. You know who I hate, man.
Yo,
I hate these kind of people, man. I do.
DJ, I'm wondering, and I'm not saying if. I'm wondering when the Redskins cut this guy, is he gonna pick the lawsuit back?
Yeah, How do you get that kind of gall to do that though?
Because if anybody doesn't, realize, they're only picking him up because RG3 won't be able to practice, so they're probably going to get the team acclimated to running the offense with somebody who's an athlete like RG3, and then you know, getting them acclimated to running it with like Kirk Cousins in a whole different way. So basically, he's being picked up to be a practice player. And he's going to drop the lawsuit because this check is going to come faster than the lawsuit check. Yo, if he picks the lawsuit back up after they cut him, yo.
He should get locked up.
He's just trying to get a little bit of Rockefeller startup money. That's what he's trying to do, man. Not my man Hustle, man. You know
he's trying to get that Nate Newton startup money.
Still spending money from 08.
Yo, anyway, man, here's the next thing I want to talk about. Victor Cruz is seeking $11 million annually from the Giants.
Man, I'm a Victor Cruz. I like Victor. Victor is tripping. He is out of his mind.
He's basing it all off of what he did to Nnamdi.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, he tripped. But see, that's the thing. Like, these contracts, cuz. It's everybody is just like, it's the last big contract, just sets the precedent for the next one. And then people think, I mean, in their mind, they believe they're just as good as that person. And so they're looking, he's looking for Fitzgerald money and
he's looking for
Calvin Johnson money. Come on, man. I know, but come on, man. I mean, Victor, like Brad said, he's good, but come on, man.
My issue isn't even that Vic is or isn't good. It's the value of a slot receiver versus the value of an outside receiver versus Victor Cruz. Like,
Wes Welker could only get 5-6. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, dude catch, like, 160,000 balls a year.
Yo, Wes
Welker
is down with the Rock, though, man.
Yeah.
Rock Nation.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Nnamdi, I know Nnamdi signed with he finally signed with the Niners.
We just said that.
Yeah, he got one.
Yeah, his joint, with incentives, I don't know, man. With incentives, he could be – y'all had me thinking about McNabb, man. But with incentives, he could make $3 million. But
I've changed my opinion on Nnamdi.
What's your opinion?
I was going with the general consensus that he's garbage, but I've looked at some film of what the Eagles were doing with him. And he was in the wrong defense, man. You can't run zone defense.
I won't be surprised if he has a great year with the Niners.
Oh, maybe.
You can't run
zone. If I was him, I would have waited to see where Victor Cruz got situated and not have went to that team, so I don't have to guard him anymore.
That's true.
He has no guaranteed money in his contract.
If he looked like
Eagle Nnamdi in camp, they could cut him and cut their ties.
That's the exact contract I would have signed him for.
Last story, so we can get some basketball talking. I just want to bring this up. Aaron Rodgers said he wants his deal done by the April 15th. I guess he's trying to work on
his
tax.
My man gets his tax time. He said, I want mine done
by. For tax purposes, Discount Double Check wants his deal done by April 15th. There are a lot of crazy numbers being thrown around because he's looking at what Romo got. He's looking at what Flacco got. So Rodgers is asking for approximately $1 billion based upon what they got.
He's going to have to go to the Cayman Islands and get his money because they ain't got that much money.
I heard they're talking like $24, $25 million per season. And because of what Flacco and Romo got, he has to get at least $55, $60 million guaranteed. But I still hear that the two sides are like $2 million apart. So Aaron Rodgers might be asking for like $26 million a year.
Yo, all I know is they need to give my man $75 million guaranteed, man.
He trying to
guarantee
get that Jockey Joe money.
Yo, man, Michael Vick has had $200 million contracts, man. Guarantee that man $75 million.
Yeah, but Michael Vick's guarantees was like $200,000.
I was about to say, yeah, Michael Vick, that contract going to get about like $26 million when it's all said and done.
Michael Vick's contracts were pretty on the outside. Like a
pretty
good
boxer.
His first one was back in the days when quarterbacks were only getting $20 million guaranteed. He got 20. because that's what they wanted back after he, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They wanted that signing bonus back, so they tried to get him for $20 million.
Yo, but Dev, we got about 15 minutes left. Jump into some NBA talk real quick before we, you know.
Boom, let's do that. And of course, y'all know y'all can check us out at warroomsports.com. If y'all want to call in now and talk to us about any of these NBA topics, the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. NBA Rap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping at Fanatics is easy. Just go to our website and click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or on our sponsors page and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and more. You can get you that 5 McNabb jersey because that joint is hot right now.
Ew.
All right, so the NBA players of the week, J.R. Smith and Al Jefferson. J.R. Smith has been balling lately, but Carmelo.
Out of control.
Yeah, Carmelo is just doing the thing to people. J.R. Smith led the Knicks. Well, he was one of the leaders of the Knicks. They went 4-0 last week. Included 2 wins over the Celtics and a win against the Grizzlies, so that's a little more impressive than usual. He averaged 29.8 points, second in the league, 7 rebounds and 1.5 steals. 3 consecutive 30-plus point performances, including 37 points against the Bobcats. That's the fourth game they didn't name. Al Jefferson, the Jazz went 4-0, which is great because they're grappling with the Lakers for that 8th seed. So this is bad for Jimmy's squad. The Jazz went 4-0, got back into the race with the Lakers for that 8th spot. He averaged 19.8, 8.3 rebounds, 2.25 steals, and 1.5 blocks. He had 20.7 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, 2 blocks when the Jazz beat Brooklyn to seal that undefeated week. So shout out to J.R. Smith, Earl.
Yeah, but they just lost. They're back in ninth place now, yo.
Who,
The Jazz. That's the last night.
Yeah.
Last night, Denver, you know.
Denver did
the
thing
back
to
them. Yeah, they back to ninth now, yo.
Basically, you're saying that.
Dunking on the hit.
Basically, you're saying that all meant nothing.
I mean, you never know. It got them back in the race, though. So now it's about 7-8 games left for both teams. It's going to come down to the very end.
All right. Well, speaking of the Lakers and their race, with his 19 points, he had a good game that night too against the Kings. 19 points, 14 assists, and 9 rebounds. Kobe surpassed Wilt Chamberlain. He is now number 4 in the NBA all-time scoring list with 31,423 points. He's only like 800-something behind Michael Jordan at 32,292. Karl Malone is almost at 37, and Kareem is at 38,387. So where do you guys foresee Kobe ending up when it's all said and done?
Number 2. I think he's going to go ahead and get
it. It's only,
yeah,
right, it's only right that Lakers 1 and 2. But my thing is this, though.
Y'all think he can get
that,
another $5,000, though? I'd say three. He's going to pass Mike for sure.
He's talking about leaving at the end of the next season anyway. But here's
lying.
My thing.
He's lying.
He might be lying. So when
but he'll still
pop
he'll
up,
be number 3
somebody,
by next season, though.
Every time somebody you know, gets up on this list and they show the numbers, Joe, I'm still amazed at the amount of points that Karl Malone scored. It's like he don't belong there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
He owes. When was he doing all this? Like, what?
Yeah, like, Carmelo is a great player. I'm not going to disrespect
that.
He no disrespect, he's one of the top 3 power forwards to ever play the game. So it's no disrespect. But even if, he doesn't owe Stockton. Like, he was putting in work by himself because if you look at Stockton's assists versus his points, he got a lot of them, no doubt, because of Stockton. But at the end of the day, this dude was putting up all kinds of crazy numbers.
But listen, Jim, you have to remember, too, and this is not a bad thing. It's not a knock. It's great to keep yourself in shape like that, but Karl Malone never missed games. So
that's true. He never missed games. He probably
could
play right now. But I was also thinking, I was looking at the amount of foul shots Karl Malone had, and, you know, he was notorious for slowing the game down, yo. He probably lost a lot of life waiting for him to shoot foul shots because he got a huge majority of those points from the foul line. So,
and he took the whole 10 seconds every time.
Because this is a story about Kobe, but every time somebody gets up there, I look like, yo, Karl Malone at 2?
The funny thing is, every time Kobe has a new accomplishment, I see some new photos, new memes come out that does something to diminish it. One
no,
I saw was like Michael Jordan said, "Oh, Kobe, it took you this many games to get here." Like,
Michael Jordan, man, I'm telling you, this dude. I used to idolize this dude as a young boy, but since he's retired and I've grown up. And the person that I've learned that he's become to be, I mean, it starts with the way he dresses, which is just egregious. But just the hating, arrogant, like...
Well, he didn't say that, though, PJ. That was just a photo that somebody made.
I thought you said he said...
But,
all right,
I'm about to go in on Mike.
I'm like, all right.
It still doesn't change what you're about to say. It doesn't change what you're about to say, but this time it wasn't him. It was just...
Yo.
You know, fans that make those photos, they put Mike's picture on there. And
the
I was going to let you go
hate,
on it, PJ. I'm starting to dislike him, though, man. I can't. This dude, golly, Mike.
Dad, let me ask you a question.
I think Mike's Hall of Fame speech was deplorable, man.
Yeah, that.
But, yo, my thing is this. To all three of you, because all you guys love Mike, but here's my question. Mike came along at a good time because we all know what kind of immigrant
he
was. Could you imagine? No. Could you imagine if Mike came along at a time where there was all the social media things? Because I think we would have looked at him probably the same way that people look at Kobe. It's
Mike,
just a matter
I mean,
of
Jimmy, not even just the social media. If TMZ was around when Mike was there, they'd have been all up in the casinos following him and going up to his room.
He wouldn't have won six shifts. He wouldn't have won six shifts. If Mike came around, he wouldn't have won six shifts.
All I know is his mentality would have broke LeBron's mind apart. His mentality broke that dude's mind apart because he ain't with the
what
I love
yo,
everything.
Dad,
I
what
love
is he
everything.
Talking about?
I don't know, yo. Man. Liquid Lou, man.
Liquid Lou.
So y'all know, y'all saw the ceremony. Shaq got his jersey retired. He actually got it done kind of early, and that's what they said before he died. That was kind of Jim Buss's idea, because usually, you know, the player before they get their jersey retired with their particular team, they would have already made it to the Hall of Fame. You know, and Shaq hasn't been retired long enough to get his Hall of Fame nod, but the Lakers already retired his jersey. It was a nice ceremony. It was another thing. Everything that we put on social media about it, first thing people did was, you see, he didn't give no shout-out to Kobe, even though he didn't give a shout-out to any players. But, you know.
Kobe, tell me how my ass is.
Kobe, tell me how my ass is.
No, it was, Shaq is always a funny dude, so it was a nice ceremony, even though the crowd started chanting, "We want Phil," disrespecting D'Antoni in his house.
Dang.
So, yeah, Jeannie Buss. I don't remember. I mean, I know I've seen Jeannie Buss plenty of times, but I didn't realize that she was like getting it done like that.
Yeah, she gets it done.
I see what you're working with, Phil. I know Jeannie was still getting it done like that.
Oh yeah.
You
must not have seen Jeannie's Twitter photos.
Yeah, she could get knocked down. She could get knocked down.
That's
vintage vagina there, you know?
Yo. Please refrain from using any further obscenities in the presence of these people.
Wherefore?
All right, man. So earlier in the week, the Heat sat LeBron, Wade, and Chalmers versus the Spurs. Now, they ended up doing it the next game against the Knicks as well, but this game was in San Antonio. We all know about Pop resting his stars when they went to Miami back in November. Do you guys think that this was in any way a form of retaliation? I mean, the Heat did it the right way. They cited injuries. They didn't just say, you know, our guys are tired. But I look at it, it was a direct shot back at Popovich and, you know, indirectly, not really at the NBA, but the NBA had to take the bullets because – you know, they were going back at Popovich.
Yeah.
And the ironic part about it is the Heat still won the game.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't think they could be fined. That was a big conversation. Should they be fined? I don't think they can because they actually
cited injuries.
Whether they were lying or not, they cited injuries.
Talking about LeBron got a hamstring. That joke
LeBron
came
in dancing. Dancing in a sweatsuit.
How many hammies you see in basketball?
Y'all been running that fast? Hammy.
How many hammies you see in basketball? That's 4 weeks. That's what I'm telling you. That's why I know it was a direct shot, because they came up with injuries that they knew was BS. Like, yo, man, tell me your eye hurt.
He walked behind LeBron and plucked him in the back of the leg and said, oop, you got a hammy.
They got a hammy.
The injury report.
Chalmers probably had, like, a stomach ache for 2 games.
Stomach ache.
Oh, God. No, So this is something I just wanted to ask you guys, because the Knicks are playing the way that they're playing. Carmelo's playing the way that he's playing. Do y'all see any chance at the Knicks beating the Heat in a 7-game?
No.
No. I think it's going to be hard to do it in 4 games. I can't see him beating them 4 times. That's the only thing. I think they can make – I think they could take it maybe, I don't know. I'm going to say like 6 maybe.
No, I'm
just
being
don't.
Nice.
It's just, yeah, I'm being
maybe,
nice. It's,
maybe
it's,
the
it's,
94 Knicks, but not this Knicks, no.
The Ewing, Oakley.
Yeah, John Stark.
John Stark Knicks.
Now, maybe them, but not these dudes, no.
I just don't think the Knicks are consistent enough the way they would need to be to beat the Heat to keep up with them. I don't know.
So no matter what's going on right now, it's still the Heat's conference to lose.
It
seems like
matter.
It, man. It seems like it, be honest with you. It seems like it.
What about the other
Knicks
side?
The Knicks not even going to play the Heat. I agree with LaVoy. The Knicks end up losing to somebody like Chicago. Watch. Watch. Chi-Town, they play hard regardless. They don't even realize they ain't supposed to win.
Shout out
straight
to Jimmy
up,
Butler.
Yeah, man. Yo, what you guys think about this year's rookie class before we get out of here?
Damian Lillard and Kenneth Faried?
That's the whole rookie class?
Yeah, that's it. Yo, the unibrow.
Who's your rookie of the year right now?
No, Bradley Beal. I'm sorry. Shout out to Bradley Beal. He balled a little bit.
I would go with Dame to me.
I would go with Dame.
It's just gone are the days that your number one pick, you know, your lottery pick, like gone are the days where they're immediate stars, immediate impact players. You know what I'm saying? Like the Sixers didn't bring Allen Iverson in to be a project who was gonna contribute in 2 years. Like Shaq, you know, Orlando, Shaq came in, he was already the best player on the team. Weber came in, you know what I'm saying, ran with Golden State. He probably wasn't the best player on the team, but you know, he was a starter. He had a big impact.
Difference maker.
Pushed on Chuck.
Yeah.
Was LeBron the last one to be the immediate impact?
No, I mean, you get them every once in a while, but I'm talking about those drafts where most of the top 10 picks came in and were immediate
and
impact.
And meant something, yeah.
Yeah, as far as number one.
Austin, what year did LeBron come in the league?
03.
03. That was the same 03. One with, like, Carmelo, though, and, like, D-Wade, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that draft was a little bit like an old-time draft where they
had
five, six players in that draft that were immediate impact. So that draft was kind of like a throwback, Joe. But
that was,
you know,
what about the draft with Darko Milicic?
That's the same draft.
That's the same man.
But
Dev, for those out there listening, Dev's two favorite athletes in the world: Aaron Rodgers and Darko Milicic.
Darko, he's nice.
I don't know what the last impact player right away, but I get your point, and I also agree with you that it's done with. Anyway, man, thanks for joining us for another episode of The War Room. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those on Facebook, Twitter, and the callers who chimed in and busted up with us. It made our show even better. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. We'll be joined by MMA Shogun Fight promoter and Ground Control MMA Training Academy owner, John Rallo, to discuss the Shogun Fight 8. That was April 13th in Baltimore, Maryland. Some live action MMA. Come check that out. Until then, enjoy the Final Four. We'll see you next week, right back here. Be sure to catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter. Always go to warroomsportstv.com and check out our videos, and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
house, yes. PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's knocked out. Call it 323 slipping 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in a block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.